Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm glad that we have a new friend with us. Greg Cazera is here, ladies and gentlemen. Greg is a new friend and an engineer with a master's degree in environmental engineering, and he's also an environmentalist with 35 years of experience in the natural gas and oil and gas industry. He is past president of the Virginia Oil and Gas Association, so he's been around the block a few times with in the energy industry, and we've asked him to join us to give us a little bit of a report on how things are going these days, and a little bit about the implications of the rise and fall of energy prices, especially oil. Greg Cazera, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good to be there, Jim.
It's good to have you here, Greg. So let's talk about, first let me ask you this question. If I had said to you, you've been in the business a long time, so maybe you wouldn't have seen this, but if I said to you 10 years ago that the United States would become the number two oil-producing country in the world, what would you have said?
You know, I'd be laughing.
Did you see it? Even in the industry, you didn't see that 10 years ago, did you?
We had no idea. I mean, it really is. I mean, we were hopeful that we could find something, but no, this stunned even industry.
It's all about new. How much of it is new finds, and how much of it is new technology?
Actually, it's all about new technology because, for instance, in the Bakken, we've known about those reservoirs, the Eagle Ford in Texas, even the Marcellus. I mean, the Marcellus here in where I live in the Northeast. This stretching from New York to Virginia, second largest natural gas field in the world now.
Wow.
But 10 years ago, we knew that the Marcellus was the source rock for the gas that we used, we'd been producing for decades. But we didn't know how to get to it. We knew that, you know, you could frack it, but it's not going to come out. It's just too...
That's natural gas. And no question, natural gas has changed a lot because the cheaper natural gas is, the less oil we have to use, the less coal we have to use, right?
That's true. There
the
is a,
plentiful,
there's a major
the cheaper,
between those.
But the United States has become one of the top producers in oil too, right?
Exactly, and even there, you know, like you said, even there in places like the Bakken, we knew there was oil in there, but we just didn't know how to get it out.
Right.
And even in places like now Ohio, well, the Marcellus is an oil producer.
Right.
Utica is an oil producer. So the whole. What changed everything is, I love it, it's American ingenuity,
yeah.
American creativity.
And the fracking fracking technology primarily, right?
Exactly.
Which is controversial.
Well, it shouldn't be, but that's another
question. Why shouldn't it? If I'm going to take the devil's advocate position here, tell me why fracking is not a problem.
Well, here's the thing. We've been fracking wells since 1947. I mean, it's old. It's not. There's nothing new about fracking. It's old. It's been around forever. Horizontal drilling came out in the 60s. When we put those two technologies together is when all this new oil and new natural gas came in. That was the key. And I was involved in projects with the Department of Energy. And, you know, people talk about, this is new. No, it's not the biggest bunch of crap out there because in the 70s and 80s, I was on some big frack jobs here in West Virginia and Kentucky, and they were big fracks, not that different to what we do now.
Mm-hmm.
They were horizontal. Even then, we didn't have the technology. We didn't know how to.
But you're not telling me why fracking is okay. Why I shouldn't sleep well at night with fracking going underneath me.
Well, maybe the easiest answer I could give you. I don't get into detail, but. Literally, I can walk out my front door, look in four directions, and see four wells that have been fracked, and have been fracked some of them a couple times.
Right.
But so the thing is, when we're doing this whole fracking business, most people don't even know what it is. All it is a way of fracking the rock deep underground and giving that oil and gas kind of a super highway to let it get to the well.
It breaks open little cells of energy and allows it to seep up into the channels that you guys have drilled into. And I think most people get that. But if you're doing that, you're also putting chemicals into the ground, aren't you?
Well, true, but
isn't that what people are worried about, that those chemicals?
Well,
and I know the chemicals are below the water table, but isn't that one of the concerns people have?
I mean, here's the thing. The first thing people always talk about is, well, you know, fracking up into my water. Well, I mean, you know, the things that most people talk about physically can't happen. You know, if you're 7,000 feet below the ground, there's no way. I mean, can't happen. You can't. There's not enough energy to drive a frack from 7,000 feet to 500 feet where the water table is.
Right.
Not going to happen. Write it down. Never happened. And the biggest danger to our water has always been, you know, like you live in Illinois. I mean, I worry about the guy next door.
Right.
I don't know where his pig bed is. I don't know where his septic is. That's
right.
Where our contamination comes from.
Right.
Always, and the thing is,
no, you're right. About the septic tank thing. There's no question about that. And then the other stuff, the industrial stuff. All right, so all of this, though, has created a very interesting dynamic with regard to pricing of energy around the world, hasn't it? It's changed so many things. Give us an example. I mean, oil prices have come down. Natural gas has come down, et cetera, right?
Right. And you were spot on, Jim. We are the energy gorilla of the planet. Now, that's to your point. 10 years ago, we didn't see that happening.
Right.
And even it took Americans several years to wrap their arms. I'm not sure a lot of people even now have kind of grasped. How many years did we live in shortage? I mean,
right.
we were at the energy crisis and energy scarcity. And even our industry, we were going all over the place trying to figure out how do you get more natural gas
And for most of us out here in the marketplace, we're saying, hey, why aren't we taking advantage of this? Why are we beating ourselves up about this? Why don't we take advantage of this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And think, there's so many things we can do with it. You know, and the other part of that, and I call myself an environmentalist for a lot of reasons, but the thing that people don't hear about, and our industry, the reality is we don't do a good job of communicating.
I'm gonna let you talk about communicating in a minute, but here's one, I want to get one point in before we go to a break. Folks,
sure.
Simultaneous with all this new energy, we're not discovering, but we're getting out of the ground and lowering the price. Simultaneous with all that, the American marketplace has lowered its carbon footprint below 1990 levels, which is the Kyoto Accords level. So when you can't blame American industry on petroleum pollution, carbon pollution. That's not what's going on right now. Simultaneous with getting all this oil out of the ground. 20 after, right back with Greg.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.